Word is spoken, read, it does something in our hearts. And so I pray tonight that not only would your word be a spoken word, but it would become a rhema in our hearts. And Father, it would not only return to you accomplishing that which you purposed, but Lord God, that we ourselves would grow in your word. And so we just commit it to you, and I pray personally for grace that I might expound it the way that you would have. We pray this in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Over the coming weeks, it could be months, but I'm sure it'll be at least weeks, I want to talk about spiritual gifts. Late last year, in praying about just the messages I have, especially in the first term, I felt God strongly say to me, I want you to speak on spiritual gifts. And it's not something I've spoken on before, a new subject for me, even though we've heard and obviously been involved with spiritual gifts, listened to it lots. And so what you're going to get tonight and what you're going to get in the coming weeks is research and fresh stuff in my heart, and it certainly won't follow the pattern that many have followed over times, because as I've read and as I've studied, there's far more to spiritual gifts than just doing it. It's more about the principle of what God wants. So tonight I want to look at what Paul says in Romans 12 and in 1 Corinthians 12 concerning the gifts. And then in the weeks to come, we'll open up how each gift operates and finally finish with possibly discovering the gifts that God has given to each of us. So we're going to read a lot of scripture first to start with, and I don't make any apology for that. I would encourage you to read with me. That's not out loud, but read with me, watching at the board. And the reason being is that these scriptures, Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, are foundational if we want to understand this subject, and it would be good for you to hear it and good for you to understand it. And you might be like me in reading these scriptures for... Fantastic. Oh, blank page. I thought, man, I've lost a note. Oh, you poor people, you've still got the six pages. Important that you look and see that oftentimes we've used these scriptures and we've talked about them in different framework, but tonight they really do, and believe it or not, they actually were meant by Paul to talk about spiritual gifts. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. Now that's pretty clean, isn't it? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one through for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. And you'll hear through the Spirit all the time. By the end of it, I hope you realize that the gifts that we've been given have been through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of the spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. So virtually you see the nine gifts of the Spirit there. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Let me read that a bit again and just clearly get that into your head. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he will. So whatever gift you've got, God gave you through the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's important to understand. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So Paul is starting to now talk about our physical body and the body of Christ, using an example that is so often used for many things, very rarely used in regard to the gifts of the Spirit. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would be the body? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honourable, on these bestow the greatest honour. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. And then it goes on, and I've chopped a little bit out for you, but God composed the body that there should be no schisms, no disunity, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honourable, all the members rejoice with it. Now, if you followed on for the rest of that scripture to the end of the chapter, you would hear Paul talk about apostles, prophets, etc., etc., etc. Again, all talking about gifts that we've been given. So let's now look at Romans 12, verses 1 through 8. And again, a scripture that we might not have ever associated at the start, at least, with spiritual gifts. But when you look at it in its entirety, you understand that Paul is actually talking about spiritual gifts here. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in our proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives, do it with liberality. He who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Again, we'll stop there because you've got the point. And so these two passages actually talk about these nine gifts. Can we have a look at that, Cam, please? Word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, the working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kind of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And so that's the spiritual gifts that we're going to talk about. I've heard lots and lots of teaching on this. And for me personally, for Chris and I, and probably many of you, we've probably been through many profiles that have determined what gift we have. In fact, you could go and I could say, I've got this and I've got that. Right back in college, in Bible college in 1975, we had a gentleman come down and we did not only the nine gifts of the Spirit, but the motivational gifts. And everyone went around telling everybody who they were and why they were. And no, it's not my job to clear the tail because I haven't got that gift of serving. That's your job because I'm a facilitator. And no, I haven't got any money, so don't come to me. I haven't got that gift. But I have the gift of being lazy, so I'll sit down and do that. You know, we use sometimes the gifts to become a sense of who we are without recognizing that God has given us our gifts to be used as a whole, together, to form his body. Yet, as I studied recently this more deeply, I find it interesting that Paul doesn't talk about what the gifts do. In fact, in going through the Bible, I don't think I could find anywhere where anyone had unpacked what these gifts mean. You know, well, what is the gift of ministering? Or how do you have the gift of healing? Or how do you have the gift of miracles? And there's no, you know, profile or manual on what you should do and how you should do it. It doesn't seem to be there. And I found that really, really interesting. You know, because I thought when God put on my heart to start speaking about the gifts that I would be able to go and unpack every gift and talk about every gift. We'd have nine sermons. That'd be a great, easy number. Yet it wasn't the way it was, and it wasn't the way Paul addressed it. In fact, it seems to me that Paul spends all his time addressing the difficulties and the abuse that seems to arise in churches because of the gifts. These abuses seem to come out in confusion, they come out in strife, they come out in disunity. In fact, it seems that the gifts and the way Paul is addressing it have caused more trouble than what God meant them to be. And instead of having unity and instead of having a body working together and fitly being part of a body, there's this great mess everywhere. And so Paul spends his time, especially in these scriptures, talking about this mess and how we should live and how we should work. You know, I think operating our gifts should be a natural thing. In fact, it should be so natural that we shouldn't need to even have a manual to do it. You know, I don't need to know that I have the gift of facilitating to be a facilitator, because wherever I go, I boss, and that just happens. Yet I know there's people in our church. I have she's not here today, no. Pam Barrett, when Pam and Ken first entered into the church, I thought it'd be great to have Pam do some stuff, and I asked her, and no way would she do it. But every time I saw Pam, she was working in the kitchen. She was working cleaning dishes. She was serving. No doubt her gift was a gift of serving, and that's where she felt comfortable. And so the gifts, I think, are quite a natural thing, and how they operate, I think, is just part of our DNA, who we are, what we are. You know, you don't see a bird before it has a baby going to nest-making classes. You know, we have some beautiful magpies that have lived at our house, well, ever since Chris arrived, because they came with us from Park Valley Drive. I think Chris said, "Maggie, Maggie," and carried the meat, and the birds followed. And, you know, every year they make nests. Every year they come down and they pluck the dog fur out of the back mat. Every year we see them around our backyard picking up straw, picking up the leaves off the palm trees around us. You know, I don't think that there was ever a nest-making class. And then I watch those birds throughout their time as they grow, and apart from the morning routine feed at 6:30 that happens every morning at our house because the birds now knock on our window. "Chris, are you awake? It's food time." You see these mums, this mum bird and dad bird doing their thing. And for us, it's exactly the same. You know, I watch a first-time mum pick up a baby, and it's amazing. There's just something in them that make them do what they do. And that's just beautiful. You know, I watch the difference between boys and girls as kids. You know, my boys, Narelle's there, she's playing with her dolls. My boys pick up the doll and they think it's a hammer. I didn't teach them that. You know, what is it that makes us different apart from the way that God put what God put within us? And I think we need to see that in regard to our gifts. And so Paul is addressing the problems in these scriptures, the problems of jealousy, the jealousy that you have a gift that I wanted, and if only I had that gift, or the problem of power and self-prominence. I'm more important than you because I'm the head and you're only the smelly toe. Or the problem of self-promotion. You know, someone, because they've now been given a ministry function, they're more important and they walk around and strut. Or the problem of wrong motives that so often gifts bring. So Paul starts in Romans 12 by saying, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, I don't know how many times I have read that scripture. I don't know how many times I've actually preached on that scripture, and I have never, ever, ever put it together with spiritual gifts. But in looking and understanding now what I have and what I've heard and what I've read and just the musing on the Word of God, I now know that Paul has put that bit in the Bible because he's trying to say, hey, before you can operate in your gifts, you've got to understand how to live out your Christian life. If we're going to get these gifts being worked and used properly in the body of Christ, then you're going to understand that it's got to be in this fashion. So firstly, you've got to hand yourself over completely to God. You've got to present your bodies as a sacrifice. "I surrender all." We sang it. So it's not going to be just words. It's got to be that's how you live out the Christian life. And when you're doing that, look, don't be conformed to this world. You know, this world has a career path, and if you want a career, then you do this and you do that and you do that, and then you get this and then you get more money and you do that, and then finally you don't have to work because you're the big boss and you just sit there and you do nothing, and all the little Indians do it all for you. You know, it doesn't work like that. You know, don't be conformed to this world. And then if you're going to live out this Christian life, you've got to learn to transform your mind. You've got to learn to renew your mind. You know, again, this is a part of what you have to do if you're going to use these gifts the way I want you to do. And in doing that, in applying all of those things, then by doing that, you will prove that good and acceptable, perfect will of God for your life. Your bodies, your life will be an act of worship so that God can use you as a hand, a foot, a head, a hair under your arm, whatever it might be, God will use you for it. In short, we renounce the old world, the old self world, and we begin to think of ourselves in godly terms and in the way that God would be able to use us to edify and to be a part of his body. And then Paul goes on, and I love the way Paul teaches. In fact, I've become more and more impressed at just reading Paul and the way he teaches, because he keeps on repeating himself. He comes back and forward and he keeps on sewing it in until finally you've got what he's saying. And so he says it in a different way now. Instead of coming out and doing all the godly stuff, he's saying, hey, this might be a little negative, but stop thinking of yourself more highly than you ought. You know, stop being puffed up. Stop going around thinking, well, I'm the pastor, or I'm the youth pastor. You know, you're just the person at the door, or we used to have overhead projectionists, you know, and they'd sit there and they'd move those things on the screen. You know, you're just the overhead projectionist, or the LCD operator. Sorry, Cam, but that's what the LCD operator is now, the overhead projectionist, okay? You know, stop thinking of yourself more highly than you ought. You know, think of yourself in a soberly manner. God has dealt to you the gift that you've got in the measure that he wanted to deal in. Now, remember, Paul is dealing with the issues that were causing, that has caused, and believe it or not, still causing, not in our church because it's perfect, still causing major issues in church regarding the gifts, regarding people serving. And one of the reasons I think so often that we don't have enough people doing the work of the ministry is because people think more highly of themselves than they ought, rather than moving and ministering in the gift or gifts that God has given them. In fact, he's bluntly saying, stop thinking you're so important. Be content with the gift or gifts that the Holy Spirit's given you. You know, as a kid growing up, and I don't know whether your family is any different to my family, but as boys, four boys in our family, mum and dad, whatever we were given was never good enough. You know, and I can remember I was sitting thinking about this as I was doing this, and, you know, we would set the table for a meal, but I wanted the light spoon, and he got the light spoon. How come he's got the light spoon and I've got wanted the light spoon? Now, you wouldn't have that in your household, would you? Not a light spoon, but you'd have something. I want the crack plate. In our family, it was, our kids, it was, that's my colour. Or, he was in the front seat last week. You know, pink was Narelle, of course, blue was Alan, green was Pete. If we go shopping, go to Darrellee, Chris will still buy the little, what do they call those things? Bo Peeps? Little Bo Peeps, and she'll buy the pink lid, the purple lid, or the blue lid and the green lid. You know, in the front seat, the back seat, we used to rotate. You know, every time you got in the car and out of the car, you would rotate. You know, if it was to drive down the drive and you got out, then you moved around. It just happened. We did anything to stop fights. But the truth of the matter is that that's how life is, isn't it? we tend to want what everyone else has got. What we've got is not as good. So, in short, as we said a minute ago, Paul's approach was this, was, hey, take self off the throne. Look, go back to verse 1. Hand yourself over to God. Present your bodies as living sacrifice. Don't be conformed to this world. Renew your mind. Get rid of the stinking thinking. Accept the fact that God gave out the gifts as he wanted. He didn't put you in a circle and go, one for you, one for you, one for you, one for you. He knew how he made us, the Bible says in Psalm 139. He wrote it out in his book, everything that we were going to do. And he said, because this is what you're going to do and this is how you're going to be used by me, you need to have these gifts. Pretty simple. And then he says, you get yourself into problems because you fail to understand the nature of the church. You don't understand how the unity of the church works because you keep thinking about yourself as an individual. And that's when, in Romans 12, he comes back and he uses the analogy of 1 Corinthians 12 again about the body, where he says, For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Isn't that an interesting thing? Having gifts differing to one another, let us use them. Stop looking at yourself as an isolated individual. Stop looking at yourself as somebody who just sits in your little seat. That's my seat, that's who I am, and that's what I'm going to be. And recognize that you're a seat that makes up all the seats, which make up the church, and that God wants you to work as part of the church or part of the body, recognizing everybody else that's around you. In this point, and I think in every point that Paul is making in regard to the gifts, he's trying to get across the whole degree and the whole reason for unity. You know, when I see things not operating rightly, God over years has now given me the eyesight to be able to see that's the enemy working or that's God working. You know, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. If something doesn't bring forth life, it's not from God. If something brings forth confusion, it's not from God, because God is not the author of confusion, but peace under the saints. And then if something brings forth disunity, it's not from God, because God is not the divider of the brethren. Satan is. And so when we see disunity operating, we know that Satan's in the midst, stirring up strife, doing his stuff. And so Paul is really now, in this whole passage, trying to bring back to the Corinthian church unity, to the point that they will start to live and to work in the fullness of what God has given them. That God's church, God's people would not only be one, but that church would grow, and that, as we've said before, that people would like what they see, and that God would continue to grow and to add his church. So Paul, going on from that, says, then having gifts differing according to that grace that is given to us, if it's prophecy, then prophesy. If you've got the gift of ministering, then minister. Etc., etc., etc. Now, that's really, really interesting stuff. For me, it was. And quite simple, I think. But then I got into a bit of confusion. Well, not really confusion, because that wouldn't have come from God, would it? I got into some, well, what about this scripture, and what about that scripture, and how does this fit? You know, I have a gift or gifts given to me. And you have gifts given to you. Gifts that the Bible says are what we're supposed to minister in. So okay, you've got two, Dave, you've got three, Chris, you've got three, you've got two, you've got four. I've never known anyone to get four before. You've got two, you got three, you got three, and you've got those three over there. We've got our gifts. We know who we are. We don't need to go through a profile. We don't need to be pigeonholed. Righto, all the servers go over there. We're going to give you cleaning duty. All of those over there, you go over there. We're going to give you that duty. We could stop there. But Paul, he says something in 1 Corinthians 13 that just screws up a whole lot of this stuff. He says, and now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Now, I can see why the church gets itself into trouble, because all of a sudden we've got a scripture like this that's saying, hey, you might have the gift of serving, you might have the gift of knowledge, you might have the word of understanding or whatever the case may be, but put that aside. Desire the greatest gifts. Desire prophecy. And so all of a sudden we've got a whole church full of prophets. Heaven forbid. But no one else is doing anything else. And so we need to understand why Paul said what he said here, because otherwise we're never going to be able to walk and use the gifts accordingly. So how do we reconcile the fact that one minute we're being told in Romans 12 to accept and to use the gifts that God's given us, and then in the next scripture he's saying, eagerly desire, seek the better gifts, covet them earnestly? Well, again, the answer became very simple as I looked at it. There's nothing wrong with eagerly desiring. There's nothing wrong with seeking better gifts, as long as it's done in love. As long as we have a motive and an attitude of love. You know, Paul says, follow the way of love, eagerly desiring gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. And really, he's only repeating again, as I said, what he's done before. He's saying, hey, if you've got ambition or power problems or desire for position, if you've got all of those things, rather than a desire to see unity or love, then you're in trouble. But if you've got everything operating in the way that I want, then there's nothing wrong in eagerly desiring better gifts. What are better gifts? We're going to look at that in weeks to come, but the simplistic way of looking at it is, a better gift is a gift that profits the body more than another gift. And believe it or not, there's no doubt that prophecy profits the body. And Paul talks about a lot of that, and we'll talk about that in messages to come. The key right now in regard to the gifts and the using of the gifts is to prove ourselves faithful in the small things. To allow God to know that He can trust us with the gifts that He's given us. And that we're using those gifts to the best of our ability to assist, to work with the other gifts in the body to make the body function better. And then, and only then, God will promote us or give us the opportunity of using better gifts, because we won't hurt anybody else. So don't whinge if you look at somebody else and you say, I wish I had that. That's God's business. And I don't have any issue with God releasing further gifts into us. However, He wants us to prove ourselves faithful and to use the gifts that we've got. Again, Jesus talked about that when He chewed out the man who didn't use the talents wisely. And so, in summing up and looking at what we've said tonight, I want you to have a focus of the body. A body made up of many members. Fingers, toes, arms, legs, hands, head. And you might be, at this present stage, one of the more uncomely or hidden parts in the body. It doesn't matter. If I came and got an axe and chopped off a few of your uncomely toes right now, I'll guarantee you the rest of the body would certainly tell you about it. You know, a toe is a very important thing. Try walking up a hill without a toe. If you're a toe, then praise God you're a toe. If you're a finger, praise God you're a finger. If you're a hand, praise God you're a hand. Because nothing can say that you're not worthy. Start to see yourself as a part of what God is doing. You, in LMC, make up a part of the body of LMC. And if every person was doing their part, then not only would our church function efficiently, but it would start to see the fruitfulness of God in every way, shape, or form. And the load and the burden would be light for everybody. God has made certain that in our church, or in your youth camp next week, or wherever it might be, that there is enough gifts in that body to make that group function perfectly. No one has every gift, so no one can say, you're not necessary, or I don't need anybody else. We need each other to do what we have to do. By working together in unity, by working together in love, using the gifts that God has given us, we're going to glorify Him, and in turn we're going to support each other. So, present your bodies to God as a living sacrifice. Don't think more highly of yourself as you ought. Remember, the body is made up of many members and we aren't all the same. Remember, we need all the gifts to make the body work, which means we need everybody. And remember, the bottom line is it's about unity and love. In closing, let me use a very simple example that you can go out with. And I used it this morning. Think of the picture of the people in the floods right now. There's houses that have been destroyed. There's people that have had mud and everything, you name it, in their house. There's streets that one day were up over there with water and now they're not. And I don't know whether you're like me, but I can't believe how much dirt and filth and mud is there. Yet when I saw the lines and lines of people waiting with their brooms and their shovels to hop on a bus, to be taken anywhere to clean somebody else's home or to sweep a street or to shovel mud or to carry a filthy mattress or whatever the case may be, I saw the body fitly joined together, working in love and harmony. And when I look and listen to Anna Bly, to the colonel who's been put in charge of restructuring, to the chief police, you know, all I hear about them talking about is the unity and the love. That's the body of Christ. That's how God has made us. And as naturally as they can do it, we have been given, when we became born again, gifts of the Spirit that God has given to us to fitly join together to make His body work. And I know that a world looking at us and seeing us operating and working in that love, without power, without pride, without self-prominence, without desire for promotion, yet just a desire for unity and love, would turn our community upside down quick smart. Father, I pray that tonight, as we've looked at a little bit of the teaching around the abuse of the gifts and why the gifts need to be operated so perfectly and how they need to operate, Lord, I pray that you would just help us to look at ourselves as you have given to us. And Father, start to be pleased and proud in a righteous way of who we are and how you've made us. And start to recognize, Lord God, that the passion and desire for us to do something is there because that's what God has gifted us with. And rather than looking at others, looking at how we can support one another. how we can grow your church together. Father, I pray for that unity. I pray for that love. And I pray that as we continue in this subject, that, Lord, we would see how to use the gifts that you've given us in a way that glorifies you. We pray this in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming out on our first Sunday night, and we'll see you next week at church. And have a great youth camp, Nick and Chris. It'll be great. Bless you. Good night.